Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
You can go broke and lose everything. Cash is like oxygen for your business. Now, without cash, you can't pay your bills and your business dies. Now, tune into this week's episode where we discuss the 7 deadly mistakes that cause your business to run short of cash and how you can fix them. If you look at their profit and loss statement, there's profit there, but there ain't no cash in the bank and they're making some really serious mistakes that are causing that. Cash flow is not really the problem, it's a symptom.
It's your money, you've got to do something about this.
Well, you're working for free.
Right.
Like, is it cancer for your business? You feel like a failure, you're like, how can I be in this position?
Yeah, well, if there's no process, then no process can be followed, unfortunately.
Yes, but it can be avoided, which is fortunate.
And not commit these 7 deadly cash flow mistakes.
Mate, you're into it. You should get into
you
it.
You get into it.
No, you should get
no,
into
you
it.
You get into okay. it.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast, where every week we help you make more money, get your time back, and make life and business a whole lot more fun. Join us as we transform your plumbing, electrical, or similar service business into a successful operation. Don't miss a beat. Hit the follow button. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here with Phil Smith, my good mate. How you doing, Chief?
Good, mate. Good. Ready to roll?
Yep.
Let's do it. That's
good. Let's do it. What are we talking about? What are we getting into? Because this is important stuff.
Yeah, we're talking about, well, 7 deadly mistakes that you can make with your cash flow. So we are talking about cash flow, or specifically making sure that your business actually has enough money in the bank to pay its bills and leave some for you as the owner, which is kind of the point of being in business, right?
Well, yeah, although you'd look at some businesses and you'd wonder, but anyway.
You would wonder, but I think the big thing is, you know, having cash to pay your bills as they fall due is pretty critical to the success of your business. And, you know, some businesses that are profitable, you know, in that they have a good margin between their make price and their sell price, they can still go under if the flow of cash in their business isn't right.
Yes, and that flow of cash is the key thing, because I've seen lots of businesses who are actually profitable on their jobs. If you look at their profit and loss statement, there's profit there. But there ain't no cash in the bank, and they're making some really serious mistakes that are causing that, and they often don't understand why. Yeah, you've got to get this right, because otherwise you don't have enough oxygen to breathe and your business will die.
Unfortunately.
Yes, but it can be avoided, which is fortunate.
Yes, good. Well, I'm sure you have a story to kick us off.
I do, and there's some difficult names in this one, so you might have to bear with me. back in the 1840s, hospitals across Europe had a really bad problem. Now, women were dying in childbirth at alarming rates, particularly in a lot of the big teaching hospitals. So the symptom was what they called childbed fever, which is a brutal infection that just killed new mothers within a few days. And no one knew why this was happening. Doctors blamed bad air, the mother's emotional state. Some even blamed it on God, which is a bit rough because apparently he created life. But anyway.
Pretty rough on the air as well.
It is a bit rough
on the air. State. I mean,
yes.
I think all of these are pretty outrageous claims.
It is. But you know, this is the thing. People don't really understand it at that time. But there was one guy, Ignaz Semmelweis. Did I get that right?
I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Ignaz Semmelweis, he noticed something really strange. Now, in his hospital in Vienna, there were 2 maternity wards. Now, one was staffed by doctors and medical students, and the other was staffed by midwives. Now, the woman who gave birth in the midwife ward were far more likely to survive, which is kind of weird. You wouldn't have thought that, given the doctors, the professionals were in the other ward. And Semmelweis looked a bit deeper, and he noticed a really big difference. So the doctors, they actually went straight from autopsies to delivering babies without washing their hands.
Oof.
Yeah, messy. He made one radical change. He insisted that mandatory hand washing with chlorinated water had to happen. And what happened? Well, funnily enough, the death rates plummeted.
Ooh.
So he identified and addressed the cause. But at the time, he was mocked and ignored, obviously, because that's what happens. The first person is always mocked and ignored until it becomes true. And you know, many were too proud and stuck in their ways and their old thing to actually admit the problem wasn't bad luck or random, that it was just actually dirty hands.
Yeah.
And I guess the point of this story is that we all know this is obvious now that, you know, cleanliness is absolutely critical and you scrub down before you have operations, etc. People were treating the symptoms here. They didn't really understand the cause. And they were blaming all sorts of things. They didn't really know what was going on. And the same thing often happens with our cash flow issues. And there's 7 really key problems here that cause all the issues if we don't understand. Cash flow is not really the problem. It's a symptom, I guess, is what we're getting at. We've got to understand the problems.
Yeah, 100%, and then treat those causes. So, look, if we actually can't get to the root cause of our cash flow problems, we're going to have some problems in our wider business.
We are. You just waste a bunch of time. Like, cash flow problems are so time-consuming because you're juggling basically Peter to pay Paul. You're on the phone to people. You're chasing people. You're on the phone to your suppliers. You're trying to talk to the bank or whatever to actually make money or make bank to pay people. And it's just, it's a massive amount of time that you don't need. It'd be much better using that time to actually grow your business and do a good job. It creates unbelievable amounts of stress because you've got to deal with creditor demands. Like, you know, I've been in this position in previous businesses where you're struggling for money and those calls that you get to get paid, you absolutely dread them. And even the most open and honest and forthright person finds themselves avoiding them because they are so difficult. And that's just kind of natural. And I'm sure a lot of you listening have been in that position. So it's super, super stressful. And it makes you question your own worth as well. Like, you feel like a failure. You're like, how can I be in this position? Often you don't talk to your family about it because you're like, you try and keep the stress from them. And what are they going to think of you? It's a bit of a mind bend. And it will damage your business reputation if you're not paying. And obviously the long-term final consequence is that you can go broke and lose everything.
Yeah, pretty dire. So we need to get this right. But, you know, if we actually can get this right, treat those root causes and not commit these seven deadly cash flow mistakes, then we've got some pretty big upside.
Yeah, I think the first thing is you can pay your bills on time, which is great. You feel good about that. And you have all the time to work on your business rather than just, you know, basically trying to plug all the holes as they come up. You've got energy to grow rather than fight fires, and you're going to feel more relaxed. You can pay your bills. You're confident about the business. You feel good about yourself as a leader and a business owner. And it's kind of like a, what's the opposite to a vicious circle? I don't know.
Virtuous circle.
A virtuous circle.
How do you like that?
I do like that.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah. You did well. Yeah, thanks. Virtuous circle.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, well, cool. Well,
quite a wordsmith, aren't you, Phil Smith?
I do my best. Anyway, should we get into how to do this? I mean, I think in any climate, it's pretty important to actually understand these cash flow problems and break them down to these seven root causes that we find. So where do we start?
Yeah, well, just jumping on that, I think we talked about this earlier, but it's really important, I think, not to say I have a cash flow problem. Mm. You've got a cash flow symptom. And so these are the sort of problems that sit under it. And number one is weak follow-up on overdue debt. So that's, you've done work for people, you've sent an invoice, and then basically you're soft about getting paid. And so you're acting as a bank for your clients, and you're bankrolling their operation, and it's meaning you can't pay your bills. And so this looks like no follow-up. It looks like maybe a weak email follow-up. It looks like just asking for, oh, when can you get paid, but not putting any pressure on. It's like not having any terms of trade, it's not having any enforcement policies, it's not having a system for getting paid, just leaving it to chance. And, you know, when people join the program here, they're amazed when we get them to look at their accounts receivable and it's like, you know, $120,000 is overdue, $80,000 is overdue, and it's like, there's your problem right there, there's your money, why don't we just toughen up and go and get it? And often that's one toughening up, two, getting a system. Three, often delegating that to someone else because you don't have enough time to do it. But weak follow-up on overdue debts is a big problem, isn't it? I mean, it's like it's a cancer for your business.
Yeah, and I mean, with this as well, like we say, a lot of the time we talk about not following up or weak follow-up, but weak follow-up is not just not doing it. It's when you do it, just being a sissy about it, like getting pushed around and, you know, someone says, oh, I can't pay you till next week, and you go, oh, okay. It's like, well, you're going to have a problem, man. Like, you can't put up with it. And a lot of time we say, hey, you know, when you're actually, you know, are you following it up at all? And they'll be like, yeah, my accounting software sends an automatic email. And I'm like, cool. Like, do you ever get that replied to? Oh, no, not really. You know, that's so easily ignored. And I think the thing is, it's your money. You've got to do something about this. And so, you know, a lot of the time, if you think you're following up, I'm like, yeah, but are you doing this properly? Are you doing this from a position of strength? Are you doing this, you know, like, will you actually speak to the person, or are you just having some automated emails that go? Because automated emails are very, very easily ignored if they even make it to the person's inbox, which honestly, the person's inbox a lot of the time will actually spam those emails because they know they're automated.
The thing is, this is money that is now overdue.
Yeah.
And it's, you have to be the squeaky wheel. And the way to be the squeaky wheel is often with personal direct follow-up and then with having some enforcement processes in place, because people take notice of that sort of stuff. Now, I'm not suggesting you be an absolute clown with this and just be brutal all the time. Sometimes it requires a little bit of finesse, but fundamentally you have to ask for the money that you are owed or overdue, and you have to demand that money, because people are paying someone, and if you're weak about this, they'll pay someone else because you're not giving them any pain. That's fundamentally what it is. And we don't give them pain because we want to be liked and we don't want to upset them and potentially lose them as a customer. But if they can't pay you and they're overdue consistently, how good a customer are they?
And hey, look, sometimes this is not malicious. Sometimes, like, you actually, the way that you're doing your follow-up, you know, if it is from a position of weakness, you can very, very easily give them the impression that you're actually in no rush and that they can take all the time in the world. And so they might not actually be doing this and not paying you because they're trying to be mean or trying not to pay you. It's because they have other bills to pay, and these people are being a lot squeakier wheels, and you seem like you're all right with it. So they just, you know, play on that. They have to, and they don't actually realize they're doing anything wrong. So you've got to make it clear that they do have to pay you within the time frame that's been allocated.
Like, particularly if they're already overdue. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. I get really slacked off by this because kind of like it feels like theft to me in a way.
It is theft. Like, would I go into your office, pick up your wallet, take a bunch of money out without telling you, and then, you know, a few weeks later you're like, did you take some money? I'm like, yeah, I'll give it back at some stage. I wouldn't do that. Like, I,
well, particularly when we've already spent money to do the job.
That's it.
So we're out of pocket already. So number one is weak follow-up on overdue debts.
100%.
So that's important.
So what's number two?
Number two is no accounts receivable process. So that means once you send the invoice, it's just a hope strategy. Like, you do the job, send the invoice, and you're basically hoping. And so what we mean by a process is there's some steps that you take to ensure you get paid on the due date. And so for larger jobs, you know, we teach our members to call the day before it's due and make sure, number one, that they've got the invoice, because that's the first little slippage point for a client is, oh, I didn't get the invoice. And number two is they're going to say, oh, I had a problem with the invoice. I didn't like it. So you ask them, have you got it? Have you got any issues or questions about the invoice? Because you knock those off. And if you call them before, you're already at the top of the priority list to get paid. Now, obviously, with smaller invoices, ideally, you're going to get paid on completion. That's a much better strategy. And if you're doing, you know, invoices for smaller jobs, you probably need to, you know, that's another process. But when they don't pay, then you follow them up immediately as well with a script. And this is all scripted so that other people can do it as well. Also, you've got your terms of trade in place so they know, you know, what's going to happen if they don't pay. So you've got to have a process there because getting paid is too important just to leave to chance or hope.
Yeah, well, if there's no process, then no process can be followed, which means that if you get this right, it was completely, you know, by accident. So, you know, without a process, you're kind of planning to fail, right? Like, right. You know, it just can't work consistently.
So, number three, you're a bit of a tough guy.
Whatever.
So you should talk about this one.
Oh, well, I think the big one for me, number three, is just being afraid to follow up. You know, you just can't be a sissy. It is your money. Like, this is your money. Not only is this money that is actually yours, should be in your bank account, but as you said earlier, you have already paid to do this job. You've paid for the materials. You've paid for the labor. It is your money. And yet somehow we have this fear about actually following up or asking for the money that is ours, that we have actually paid to earn. And I think the big thing is, like, fear, honestly, that this means that you're a bit worried about where you stand with the person. And honestly, this is from a place of weakness, you know, and it's... And I think sometimes what we actually fear here is we fear about losing a client, we fear about pissing them off, we fear about rubbing them up the wrong way, we fear about what if we never get another job from them. But, you know, maybe what you should fear is teaching them that you are there to be pushed around, teaching them that you are a bank with no interest, teaching them, you know, that they can just basically milk you for all that you've got. I mean, these are things you should really fear. Fear not being able to pay your bills. Fear not being able to put money on the table. Fear those things.
The thing is, they're making their problems your problems.
Yeah.
Because the reason they can't pay is not generally because they're trying to be bad, although there's the odd person like that, but that's a very big exception. It's because they're hopeless at organizing their business. They're not profitable enough. They're not getting paid. And you're letting that problem of theirs become yours by not being firm about getting paid.
Yeah, and I think the big thing with this is, like, if you think about it, we fear losing that client, but this is a non-paying client. And the reason we fear them is in case we have no client. But the reality is that no client didn't cost me anything in labor and materials. Whereas a non-paying client, I still have zero revenue, only I also paid for labor and materials to do work for them. So actually a non-paying client is worse than no client. And it's really just that simple. Now, obviously, the gray area comes in, well, eventually I get paid, and that's fine. But the thing is that, like, if that gap between them finally, you know, pulling finger and actually giving you your money, If that gap is too long, you die in the process because you still have outgoings, you still have payables. And so if your receivables mount up, your payables are going out, you have nothing. And then what? So I think you need to get very, very serious about being okay with asking for your money.
Yeah, and this issue of fear and not wanting to offend or being afraid of losing clients reflects back into your marketing, because most people in this situation, their marketing needs improvement, because one of the reasons they're holding on to poor paying clients is they don't have enough good paying clients, which means they don't have enough process to get more better clients, which is actually a marketing problem.
Yeah.
And so whilst this, you know, this episode is not really about marketing, it kind of is in a way, because marketing gives you power and choice. And if you've got power and choice over the jobs coming in, then you can get rid of the people who are no good. And this is very important. So the people who are really good at this actually have a strong sales and marketing process in their business, because it allows them to basically free up the future of the non-payers, the people who are just the problem children, and they can always just bring in new clients who are actually going
to
pay.
Well, not to mention, when I've actually got a lot of work coming down the pipe, you know, or I've got a lot of opportunities, a lot of leads, because I'm doing good marketing, it also gives me a lot of ability to be more picky about what work I choose, and therefore earn better margins, which honestly is number four, right?
Yeah, margins is critical. So almost always when people have chronic cash flow issues, they're not making enough money off the jobs they actually do for their clients. So that means the spread between what they are paying for the job, labor, materials, and those other costs, and what they're charging the client is just literally not big enough to cover all their overheads and to leave some money for profit at the end of the day. And so obviously that's pricing is too low, which is often the case. And again, that's often a fear issue, or lack of marketing. Maybe they're working with the wrong types of clients and they have poor productivity. So the team is just, there's lots of overruns, mistakes, and reworks. So margins, gross margins are often at the bottom of your, now they're a problem that are causing that cash flow symptom.
Yeah, well, if you think about that cash flow symptom, it's like really what's happening is that you're not accumulating cash. But if there's no profit margin or very little profit margin in the jobs that you're doing, there's nothing to accumulate. So it's like you're wondering why cash is not accumulating. It's like, because there is none. There never will be any, because the amount of money that you actually make in profit from a job, you know, your gross profit gets eaten up completely in your overhead anyway, because it was too low to begin with. So, you know, you only just make enough money to keep the lights on. There is no net profit left at the end. So that's never going to accumulate into any kind of good cash position. In fact, the slightest overrun on a job, you know, as you're saying, you get overruns, you get rework callbacks, and that razor thin margin becomes a negative margin. And at that point, you're actually, well, for lack of a better word, you're screwed. Like, so
yeah, technical term. And you think about those maybe some larger jobs where you have retentions or retained earnings, which are, you know, money you're not going to get paid until later, after practical completion. You're completely upside down if the margins aren't good. And we've seen this before. Mm. You know, there's actually no way you can be cash flow positive because of the way the jobs are structured in terms of their profitability, which translates through to, you know, how the cash timing happens.
Yeah, well, that's point number five, yeah, right?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, get into it.
Mate, you're into it. You should get into
it. You get into it.
No, yeah. You should get into it.
You get into it. Okay. I want to talk about the cash gap.
The cash gap. Well, the cash gap really is the timing of payments. So, you know, that means, you know, if you're incurring all the costs for doing the job now, so you're paying the materials and the labor, you're going to be paying the labor immediately because you've got to pay weekly or fortnightly. But if it's a longer job and all the materials are accumulating and you're having to pay them before you get any money, then obviously your cash flow is upside down. Now, some jobs and some sectors are like that, and that's fine, but you've got to do something to cover it. And so the options are, one, you can get finance, you know, overdraft facilities from the bank to actually cover that before the money comes in, and that's fine. Totally legitimate strategy. You can get better deposits, so more deposits up front. You can make progress claims, so you can, you know, structure the payments throughout the life of the project so the cash matches up better. Quick invoicing is really important here. Payment on completion wherever possible. And if you do have work that the cash gap is upside down, so it's very difficult for you to structure it to get paid up front, what other work do you have in terms of the mix of work you've got that can actually help drop cash into the business as you go along to keep things running until you get the big payment from the larger jobs?
Well, yeah, if you're the type of business that does, you know, pretty much exclusively really big projects, then this can really happen quite easily, because especially as you grow, because if you're just doing, you know, the same amount of guys out in the field, doing about the same amount of projects every month, but you're always doing big projects, then it becomes maintainable. But if you get some quick growth, you know, suddenly you're doing a few more big projects concurrently with the ones that are still going, and then you add a few more big projects on top of that concurrently with the ones that are still going, and none of them are really getting to a point where they get paid, then what you're doing is you're actually adding more and more and more labor cost into your business, more and more and more materials invoices needing to be paid every month, but you're still waiting on more and more and more jobs to actually come to a point where you're going to get any money from them. And so the hard thing is that you can widen that gap by growing in that way. So if you don't have a mix of other jobs that you can put in there that actually will get paid more promptly and in shorter time frames, then you can really exacerbate that problem. So if you do pretty much exclusively large projects, you need to be very careful during growth phases or mix in other types of work, or otherwise you can make this very bad.
Yeah, you need a great relationship with your bank if that's the case, because you will need bank funding to bridge that gap.
Yeah,
and that means you've got to do some really careful cash flow planning to see how things look. Which, you know, but if you can get money coming in from other jobs, that's going to really help.
Or get regular payments from those big projects, which is obviously ideal.
Yeah, if you can, for sure. So the next one is kind of like not obvious to people, but man, it makes a difference. And it is poor admin or under capacity in the office.
Yeah.
How does that affect us?
Well, basically, if you don't have the capacity in the office, especially in admin, you know, if you think about it, if you're slow to invoice, you're going to get paid slower. It's just that simple. Not to mention that people are never actually keener on the job that's just been done for them as when it gets completed. So on that day of completion, they're so happy about it. Every day that passes after that, they're actually a little bit less likely to pay you, because the time from maximum, you know, satisfaction is getting further. This is just becoming normal now, and actually paying for it feels like more of a drag the longer the time drags.
Other people want to get paid as well.
That's right. So I think the big thing with this is that you have to understand you're never more likely to get paid than being closer to when you completed the job. And so if you're slow to invoice due to capacity, you're actually just less likely to get paid, let alone just the physical time of it took you ages to get the invoice out, which means that
your cash gap is longer.
You genuinely cannot be paid until you've done that. So this is massive. Not to mention like things like variations. Like if you're not capturing variations, then you're missing out on...
You're working for free.
Right.
And I see this happen so often. The office is a mess and we've got cash flow problems and we're like, oh, there's no way we can afford to have someone in the office because I've got no money. It's like, hello, the reason you've got no money is because you've got no one in the office who's actually doing the most important thing, ensuring you get paid, which you have to have an invoice for to get paid. It's like, man, this is kind of like counterintuitive, but it's actually a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And doing work for free because you're not organized is not a great way to make money.
No, absolutely not. And it will give you that cash flow symptom, that's 100%. For sure. Yeah, which brings us to number seven.
So this is not running regular financial reports. So not doing a profit and loss, not doing any back costing, and not running a cash flow forecast. And not looking at your balance sheet to understand where your receivables and your payables at. This is massive. So basically, it's like trying to drive a car without any instruments. It's like flying a plane without the cockpit dials. You really don't know where you're at. You have no idea. And you're basically just looking at the bank balance from day to day, which, you know, as we know, with plumbing and electrical and other contracting and tradie businesses, the bank balance can change massively. You've got, you know, large projects, lots of invoices coming in and out, and it's up and down like a yo-yo. So you can't manage it just from a bank account.
Absolutely.
You have
not.
To know how profitable am I, where's the money flow at, and that's a cash flow statement, and where is the health of the business, like the receivables and the payables, where are they at right now so I can see where I'm sitting. If you don't do that, and you don't look at things like, you know, loan payments as well, when are my loan payments due, because they're going to actually
high
purchase, all that sort of stuff, what happens is money just disappears out of the bank and you're not sure why, and you're like, oh, shit, I thought I had all that money to pay that, you know, that materials supplier bill, but the day before, half that money's gone because there was this other bill that came out that I wasn't aware of. That happens a lot. And so you have to be quite disciplined with this stuff, because then there's no surprises. And you can plan in advance, which is critical.
Yeah, and you definitely need all of those financial reports. It's not just your profit and loss. You need the balance sheet. You need the cash flow statement. And I think the thing is, you need to look at these all regularly. I mean, things like let's say you don't take a wage out of your business, you take drawings, that's totally cool. Unfortunately, that doesn't show up on your P&L. So, you know, you might be saying, hey, I'm really, really profitable, but I've got no money. And I'm like, yeah, because you took it all in drawings, man. So I think it's just really important that you're looking at these statements and understanding the balance between the three of them and able to see where your money's going. If you can do that, again, knowledge is power. You get a lot of control back. And then you're able to make the right decisions about how to actually treat not just the symptom, but these root causes, which is really what it's all about.
So symptoms, not problems, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I got that right, didn't I?
Yeah, I think we did.
Look for the problems, not the symptoms.
Yeah, that's it, the root causes.
The root causes.
Let's land this plane.
Cash flow problems aren't the problem, they are the symptom. There you go.
Nailed
it. So you've got to make sure that you avoid these 7 deadly cash flow mistakes because they're what's causing your cash flow problem. Then your cash flow symptoms will disappear, life will be much better, and your business will be way more fun to run and own. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast, I interview John Anderson from Jam Group based out of Rotorua, New Zealand. Now, John is a member of the Million Dollar Tradie Coaching Group, and John is a driven and resilient business owner who's grown significantly over the last 18 months despite a soft economy. Now, his journey is packed with challenges he's pushed through, and it's seriously motivating. Now, John has some powerful lessons about what it takes to really grow a thriving business. Now, don't miss this episode if you want to discover real-world strategies behind serious growth. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.